Chapter 14. Wolf Brother.
Gone, Ingtar demanded of the air. And my guards saw nothing. Nothing. They cannot just be gone.
Listening, Perrin hunched his shoulders and looked at Matt, who stood a little way off, frowning and muttering to himself. Arguing with himself was how Perrin saw it. The sun was peeking over the horizon, past time for them to have been riding. Shadows lay long across the hollow, stretched out and thinned, but still like the trees that made them. The pack horses, loaded and on their lead line, stamped impatiently, but everyone stood by his mount and waited. Uno came striding up.
Not a goat-kissing track, my lord.
He sounded offended. Failure touched on his skill.
Burn me, not so much as a flaming hoof scrape. They just bloody vanished.
Three men and three horses do not just vanish, Ingtar growled. Go over the ground again, Uno. If anyone can find where they went, it's you.
Maybe they just ran away, Matt said.
Uno stopped and glared at him. Like he'd cursed an Aes Sedai, Perrin thought wonderingly.
Why would they run away?
Ingtar's voice was dangerously soft.
Rand, the Builder, my sniffer? My sniffer! Why would any of them run, much less all three?
Matt shrugged.
I don't know. Rand was...
Perrin wanted to throw something at him, hit him, anything to stop him, but Ingtar and Uno were watching. He felt a flood of relief when Matt hesitated, then spread his hands and muttered,
I don't know why. I just thought maybe they had.
Ingtar grimaced.
Ran away.
He growled as if he did not believe it for an instant.
The Builder can go as he will, but Hurin would not run away, and neither would Randall Thor. He would not. He knows his duty now. Go on, Uno. Search the ground again.
Uno gave a half bow and hurried away, sword hilt bobbing over his shoulder. Ingtar grumbled.
Why would Hurin leave like that, in the middle of the night without a word? He knows what we're about. How am I to track this shadow-spawned filth without him? I would give 1,000 gold crowns for a pack of trailhounds. If I did not know better, I would say the Dark Friends manage this so they can slip east or west without me knowing. Peace, I don't know if I do know better.
He stumped off after Uno. Perrin shifted uneasily. The Dark Friends were doubtless getting further away with every minute. Getting further away, and with them the Horn of Valir, and the dagger from Shadar Logoth. He did not think that Rand, whatever he had become, whatever had happened to him, would abandon that chase.
But where did he go, and why?
Loyal might go with Rand for friendship, but why Hurin?
Maybe he did run away, he muttered,
then looked around. No one appeared to have heard. Even Matt was not paying him any mind. He scrubbed a hand through his hair. If Aes Sedai had been after him to be a false dragon, he would have run too. But worrying about Rand was doing nothing to help track the Dark Friends. There was a way, perhaps, if he was willing to take it. He did not want to take it. He had been running away from it. But perhaps now he could no longer run.
Serves me right for what I told Rand. I wish I could run.
Even knowing what he could do to help, what he had to do, he hesitated. No one was looking at him. No one would know what they were seeing, even if they did look. Finally, reluctantly, he closed his eyes and let himself drift. Let his thoughts drift out, away from him. He had tried denying it from the first, long before his eyes began to change from dark brown to burnished golden yellow. At that first meeting, that first instant of recognition, he had refused to believe. And he had run from the recognition ever since. He still wanted to run. His thoughts drifted, feeling for what must be out there, what was always out there in country where men were few and far between, feeling for his brothers. He did not like to think of them that way, but they were. In the beginning, he had been afraid that what he did had some taint of the Dark One, or of the One Power, equally bad for a man who wanted nothing more than to be a blacksmith and live his life in the light and in peace. From that time, he knew something of how Rand felt, afraid of himself, feeling unclean. He was still not past that entirely. This thing he did was older than humans using the One Power, though. Something from the birth of time. Not the power, Moraine had told him. Something long vanished, now come again. Egwene knew, too, though he wished she did not. He wished no one did. He hoped she had not told anyone. Contact. He felt them. Felt other minds. Felt his brothers, the wolves. Their thought came to him as a whirlpool blend of images and emotions. At first he had not been able to make out anything except the raw emotion, but now his mind put words to them. Wolf brother. Surprise. Two legs that talks. A faded image, dim with time, old beyond old, of men running with wolves, two packs hunting together. We have heard this comes again. You are Longtooth? It was a faint picture of a man dressed in clothes made of hides, with a long knife in his hand, but overlaid on the image, more central, was a shaggy wolf with one tooth longer than the rest. A steel tooth gleaming in the sunlight, as the wolf led the pack in a desperate charge through deep snow toward the deer that would mean life instead of slow death by starvation, and the deer thrashing to run in powder to their bellies, and the sun glinting on the white until it hurt the eyes, and the wind howling down the passes, swirling the fine snow like mist, and wolves' names were always complex images. Perrin recognized the man, Elias Machira, who had first introduced him to wolves. Sometimes he wished he had never met Elias.
No,
he thought, and tried to picture himself in his mind.
Yes, we have heard of you.
It was not the image he had made, a young man with heavy shoulders and shaggy brown curls, a young man with an axe at his belt, who others thought moved and thought slowly. That man was there, somewhere in the mind picture that came from the wolves, but stronger by far was a massive wild bull with curved horns of shining metal, running through the night with the speed and exuberance of youth, curly-haired coat gleaming in the moonlight, flinging himself in among white cloaks on their horses, with the air crisp and cold and dark, and blood so red on the horns, and
young bull.
For a moment, Perrin lost the contact in his shock. He had not dreamed they had given him a name. He wished he could not remember how he had earned it. He touched the axe at his belt with its gleaming half-moon blade.
Light help me, I killed two men. They would have killed me even quicker, and Egwene, but
pushing all that aside, it was done and behind him, he had no wish to remember any of it, he gave the wolves the smell of Rand, of Loyal and Huron, and asked if they had scented the three. It was one of the things that had come to him with the change in his eyes. He could identify people by their smell, even when he could not see them. He could see more sharply, too, see in anything but pitch darkness. He was always careful to light lamps or candles now, sometimes before anyone else thought they were needed. From the wolves came a view of men on horses approaching the hollow in late day. That was the last they had seen or smelled of Rand or the other two. Perrin hesitated. The next step would be useless unless he told Ingtar.
And Matt will die if we don't find that dagger. Burn you, Rand, why did you take the sniffer?
The one time he had gone to the dungeon with Egwene, the smell of Fane had made his hair stand on end. Not even Trollocs smelled so foul. He had wanted to rip through the bars of the cell and tear the man apart, and finding that inside himself had frightened him more than Fane did. To mask Fane's smell in his own mind, he added the scent of Trollocs before he howled aloud. From the distance came the cries of a wolf pack, and in the hollow horses stamped and whickered fearfully. Some of the soldiers fingered their long-bladed lances and eyed the rim of the hollow uneasily. Inside Perrin's head it was much worse. He felt the rage of the wolves, the hate. There were only two things wolves hated. All else they merely endured. But fire and Trollocs they hated, and they would go through fire to kill Trollocs. Even more than the Trollocs, Fane's scent had put them into a frenzy, as if they smelled something that made Trollocs seem natural and right.
Where?
The sky rolled in his head, the land spun. East and west wolves did not know. They knew the movements of sun and moon, the shift of seasons, the contours of the land. Perrin puzzled it out. South. And something more. An eagerness to kill the Trollocs. The wolves would let Youngbull share in the killing. He could bring the two legs with their hard skins if he wanted. But Youngbull and Smoke and Two Deer and Winter Dawn and all the rest of the pack would hunt down the twisted ones who had dared come into their land. The inedible flesh and bitter blood would burn the tongue, but they must be killed. Kill them. Kill the twisted ones. Their fury infected him. His lips peeled back in a snarl, and he took a step to join them, run with them in the hunt, in the killing. With an effort, he broke the contact, except for a thin sense that the wolves were there. He could have pointed to them across the intervening distance. He felt cold inside.
I'm a man, not a wolf. Light help me, I am a man.
Are you well, Perrin?
Matt said, moving closer. He sounded the way he always did, flippant, and bitter under it, too, of late. But he looked worried.
That is all I need. Rand run off, and then you get sick. I don't know where I'll find a wisdom to look after you out here. I think I have some willow bark in my saddlebags. I can make you some willow bark tea, if Ingtar lets us stay that long. Serve you right if I make it too strong.
I'm all right, Matt.
Shaking off his friend, he went to find Ingtar. The Shinaran lord was scanning the ground on the rim with Uno and Ragan and Massima. The others frowned at him as he drew Ingtar aside. He made sure Uno and the rest were too far away to hear before he spoke.
I don't know where Rand or the others went, Ingtar, but Padan Thane and the Trollocs, and I guess the rest of the Dark Friends, are still heading south.
How do you know this? Ingtar said.
Perrin drew a deep breath.
Wolves told me.
He waited, for what he was not sure. Laughter, scorn, an accusation of being a Dark Friend, of being mad. Deliberately, he tucked his thumbs behind his belt, away from the axe.
I will not kill, not again. If he tries to kill me for a Dark Friend, I'll run, but I won't kill anybody else.
I have heard of things like this, Ingtar said slowly, after a moment. Rumors. There was a warder, a man called Elias Machira, who some said could talk to wolves. He disappeared years ago. He seemed to catch something in Perrin's eyes.
You know him?
I know him, Perrin said flatly. He's the one. I don't want to talk about it. I didn't ask for it.
That's what Rand said.
Light. I wish I were home working Master Luhan's forge.
These wolves, Ingtar said. They will track the Dark Friends and Trollocs for us.
Perrin nodded.
Good. I will have the horn, whatever it takes.
The Shinaran glanced around at Uno and the others, still searching for tracks.
Better not to tell anyone else, though. Wolves are considered good luck in the Borderlands. Trollocs fear them. But still, better to keep this between us for the time. Some of them might not understand.
I would as soon nobody else ever found out, Perrin said.
I will tell them you think you have Huron's talent. They know about that. They're easy with it.
Some of them saw you wrinkling your nose back in that village and at the ferry. I've heard jokes about your delicate nose.
Yes. You keep us on the trail today. Uno will see enough of their tracks to confirm it is the trail. And before nightfall, every last man will be sure you are a sniffer. I will have the horn.
He glanced at the sky and raised his voice.
Daylight is wasting. To horse!
To Perrin's surprise, the Shinaran seemed to accept Ingtar's story. A few of them looked skeptical. Massima went so far as to spit. But Uno nodded thoughtfully, and that was enough for most. Matt was the hardest to convince.
A sniffer? You? You're going to track murderers by smell? Perrin, you're as crazy as Rand. I am the only sane one left from Emmonsfield, with Egwene and Nynaeve trotting off to Tarvalen to become...
He cut himself short with an uneasy glance for the Shinarans. Perrin took Huron's place beside Ingtar as the small column rode south. Matt kept up a string of disparaging remarks until Uno found the first tracks left by Trollocs and by men on horses. But Perrin paid him little mind. It was all he could do to keep the wolves from dashing on ahead to kill the Trollocs. The wolves cared only about killing the Twisted Ones. To them, Dark Friends were no different from any other two legs. Perrin could almost see the Dark Friends scattering in a dozen directions, while the wolves slew Trollocs, running away with the Horn of Valir, running away with the dagger. And once the Trollocs were dead, he did not think he could interest the wolves in tracking the humans, even if he had any idea which of them to track. He had a running argument with them, and sweat covered his forehead long before he got the first flash of images that turned his stomach. He drew rein, stopping his horse dead. The others did the same, looking at him, waiting. He stared straight ahead and cursed softly, bitterly. Wolves would kill men, but men were not a preferred prey. Wolves remembered the old hunting together for one thing, and the two legs tasted bad for another. Wolves were more particular about their food than he would have believed. They would not eat carrion unless they were starving, and few would kill more than they could eat. What Perrin felt from the wolves could best be described as disgust. And there were the images. He could see them much more clearly than he wished. Bodies, men and women and children, heaped and tumbled about. Blood-soaked earth, churned by hooves and frenzied attempts to escape. Torn flesh, heads severed. Vultures flapping, their white wings stained red. Bloody, featherless heads tearing and gorging. He broke loose before his stomach emptied itself. Above some trees in the far distance, he could just make out black specks whirling low, dropping, then rising again. Vultures fighting over their meal. There's something bad up there. He swallowed, meeting Ingtar's gaze. How could he fit telling them into the story of being a sniffer? I don't want to get close enough to look at that. But they'll want to investigate once they can see the vultures. I have to tell them enough so they'll circle around. The people from that village. I think the Trollocs killed them. Uno began cursing quietly, and some of the other Shinarans muttered to themselves. None of them seemed to take his announcement as odd, though. Lord Ingtar said he was a sniffer, and sniffers could smell killing. And there is someone following us, Ingtar said. Matt turned his horse eagerly. Maybe it's Rand. I knew he wouldn't run out on me. Thin, scattered puffs of dust rose to the north. A horse was running across patches where the grass grew thin. The Shinarans spread out, lances ready, watching in all directions. It was no place to be casual about a stranger. A speck appeared, a horse and rider. A woman to Perrin's eyes, long before anyone else could discern the rider, and quickly drew closer. She slowed to a trot as she came up on them, fanning herself with one hand. A plump, graying woman, with her cloak tied behind her saddle, who blinked at them all vaguely.
That's one of the Aes Sedai, Matt said disappointedly. I recognize her. Varin.
Varin Sedai, Ingtar said sharply, then bowed to her from his saddle.
Moraine Sedai sent me, Lord Ingtar, Varin announced with a satisfied smile. She thought you might need me. Such a gallop I've had. I thought I might not catch you short of Kyrian. You saw that village, of course. Oh, that was very nasty, wasn't it? And that Murdrol. There were ravens and crows all over the rooftops, but never a one went near it, dead as it was. I had to wave away the Dark One's own weight in flies, though, but I could make out what it was. A shame I did not have time to take it down. I've never had a chance to study.
Suddenly her eyes narrowed, and the absent manner vanished like smoke.
Where is Randall Thor?
Ingtar grimaced.
Gone, Varin Sedai. Vanished last night, without a trace. Him, the Ogier, and Hurin, one of my men.
The Ogier, Lord Ingtar. And your sniffer went with him? What would those two have in common with—
Ingtar gaped at her, and she snorted.
Did you think you could keep something like that secret?
She snorted again.
Sniffers. Vanished, you say?
Yes, Varin Sedai.
Ingtar sounded unsettled. It was never easy discovering Aes Sedai knew the secrets you were trying to keep from them. Perrin hoped Moraine had not told anyone about him.
But I have. I have a new sniffer.
The Shinaran lord gestured to Perrin. This man seems to have the ability also. I will find the Horn of Valir, as I swore to. Have no fear. Your company will be welcome, Aes Sedai, if you wish to ride with us.
To Perrin's surprise, he did not sound as if he entirely meant it. Varen glanced at Perrin, and he shifted uneasily.
A new sniffer? Just when you lose your old one. How providential. You found no tracks? No, of course not. You said no trace. Odd. Last night.
She twisted in her saddle, looking back north, and for a moment Perrin almost thought she was going to ride back the way she had come. Ingtar frowned at her.
You think their disappearance has something to do with the horn, Aes Sedai?
Varen settled back.
The horn? No. No, I think not. But it is odd. Very odd. I do not like odd things until I can understand them.
I can have two men escort you back to where they disappeared, Varen Sedai. They will have no trouble taking you right to it.
No, if you say they vanished without a trace.
For a long moment she studied Ingtar, her face unreadable.
I will ride with you. Perhaps we will find them again, or they will find us. Talk to me as we ride, Lord Ingtar. Tell me everything you can about the young man. Everything he did, everything he said.
They started off in a jingle of harness and armor, Varen riding close beside Ingtar and questioning him closely, but too low to be overheard. She gave Perrin a look when he tried to maintain his place, and he fell back.
It's Rand she's after, Matt murmured, not the horn.
Perrin nodded.
Wherever you've gotten to, Rand, stay there. It's safer than here.